1 Corinthians chapter 3, again, if you're following along. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let me just read, mainly in verses 16 and 17, but for the sake of some context, the rest of the context, I'll read on down to verse 20. In verse 16, Paul is continuing, and he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, of course, this is to believers. This is not even necessarily to the elect, okay? But this is to believers.
Yeah.
This is to those God has called by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I do believe there's a sense in which God's Spirit is with all the elect,
yeah,
all the time. But they are not, the Spirit of God is not in all the elect until they are converted. And then the Spirit comes in and dwells in us. He goes on. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." And I told you, those two words, the word translated defile and the word destroy in the Greek, are the exact same word.
Yeah.
And why they translated it different, I don't know. But nevertheless, you could read it either way. If any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Or if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God defile. For the temple of God is holy, which ye are. And the temple doesn't hurt anything. It's put in there to make the English actually flow a little better, I suppose. Which temple ye are. And then he makes it, "Let no man deceive himself." And that's why, you remember what I said last week, Paul here is not trying to tell us who's saved and who's lost. Okay? There are some people who are deceived and they're lost. And there's some people who deceive themselves and they're lost. But there are other people who are saved but still can deceive themselves.
Yeah,
we can still be deceived, even as the people of God. Now, I don't believe we're going to be ultimately deceived or finally deceived, but we can still be deceived. And one thing's true, if you defile God's temple, you're deceived. Now, the defiling of the temple here is not doing something to your body, okay, which is God's body.
Yeah.
It says chapter 6, isn't it? He says, "You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
Yes,
but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about here our physical body, though, Mac, the Spirit of God is in our physical body as a believer, but yet he's talking about the body of Christ, the temple, the people of God.
Yes.
"Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And God willing, I will preach about becoming a fool." That's pretty easy for some of us. But in the wrong way. In the wrong way. This is in a good way.
Yes.
Nevertheless, he goes on, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." And Paul means that. This is not an overstatement. This is not hyperbole. As a matter of fact, there's a passage I think can relate to this that may help us understand the depth of this a little more, where our Lord said, and it's just off the top of my head here, "But that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in God's sight."
Exactly.
That relates to this.
Yes, sir.
The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And you can mark it down. If men highly esteems it, God despises it.
Exactly right.
You know? But what about Bible reading? In most men's eyes, and the reason why they do it, God despises it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Because most men read the Bible self-righteously.
Yeah.
Thinking they can actually understand God's Word, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Tim James says, it's praying and thinking you got through.
Yeah.
You know? Or reading the Bible and saying, I know some people that don't. Tim knows how to kind of get it pointed. But nevertheless, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He, that is God, taketh the wise in their own craftiness." Now I'm still basically on verse 16 and 17. Now remember, we have looked at carnality. Basically what it is, what it actually is according to the context, and what it's not.
Yeah.
Carnality, as Paul speaks of it in this chapter, has nothing to do with immorality. Although we might call it to be immoral,
yep,
or a better word, unrighteous,
yeah,
But the problem, or what Paul calls carnality, is not what we think of as the immoral things of life, the baser, more ungodly, unrighteous things of life. It is actually boasting in preachers. Bragging on a preacher is carnality.
Yes, that's right.
Especially when you do so out of proper context.
That's right.
To be thankful is one thing, David, but to give a man credit for anything in salvation is wrong.
Amen.
Because God alone gets the credit.
Yes, sir.
And he gets all the credit not simply as a gift from us, but because he actually deserves all the credit. He does all the work. Because it's even when we do his will, it is what? God that is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
I can't even breathe right apart from the Spirit of God.
That's it.
To breathe outside of faith is sin.
Amen.
You know what the book says? Anything outside of faith is what?
Sin.
Sin. No matter how religious it might look, Joe. No matter how biblical it might be. That is in accord with Bible precepts. If it's done outside of faith, it's sin. So we looked at that. We also, as I mentioned, God brings all the increase.
Yes, sir.
Anything that God didn't bring is not increase at all.
Exactly.
If it looks like increase, it's not unless God done it. That's what I'm afraid all of these so-called professions of faith people come forward and make, they're not of God. Most of them are because people have been mentally wore down by the preacher.
Yeah.
Through mental tactics and persuasion. We also looked at this, that there is only one foundation. And we also looked at the fact that our works will be revealed.
Yes, sir.
Our works, and it's specifically the works that has to do with building on this foundation. We might call it, Mason, our witnessing for the testimony of Christ. Our telling the truth about the person and work of Christ will be tried.
Amen.
And even here, I know there are people who believe, well, that means if I'm a believer, then my fornication will burn up, and my drunkenness will burn up, and my stealing will burn up. No, those things had better be atoned for by the blood.
Yeah.
Because the fire will not take away the judgment of God against such things. This here is talking about our best efforts.
Yes, sir.
Some of those may end up, we may end up seeing them as wood, hay, and stubble, and have them burnt before our very eyes.
Yeah.
And it also says a man's work may abide. Does it not? Now I have to tell on her. Penny started, she said this. She opened up a can of worms. And the reason is she mentioned to some folks about this fact. That God's people, and this is the way the book puts it, God's people would give an account of themselves to God. And she quoted, what was it, 5 or 6 different passages to these people, these individuals, and they, every one of them, basically said, well, that's the lost. Well, it says right here about this person whose work will be tried. But even if his work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So is that talking about a saved man or a lost man?
Exactly.
Talking about a saved man, isn't it?
Yeah.
But some of his works could be what? Burned.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as I said before, then Paul immediately moves into this, know ye not that you're the temple of God. And basically it's this. Here's the context. We should take great care in how we deal with God's church.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean the church as a whole, but even an individual,
yes, sir,
of his church.
Mm-hmm.
Because in dealing with one, you're dealing with Christ.
Yes, sir.
You're dealing with the whole group. Remember, Christ is the head. We're the body.
Mm-hmm.
A man touches your hand, he affects everything, doesn't he? He affects everything. So again, I said we need to take great care in how we deal with God's church because God takes such things most seriously. And that's the statement he makes here. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. And the whole context here, Joe, is someone comes along and profanes the temple, hurts the temple,
yeah,
causes the temple wrong, does the temple wrong. I give you an illustration of it. That is Antiochus Epiphanes, who offered a sow, pig, even a female pig. Now, let me tell you something. People get ticked off if they want to, but there wasn't no females being offered on the altar of the Lord.
That's right.
It was male. You know why? Because the Redeemer is male.
Yeah.
It is He. When He shall come, He shall do this. He shall do that. Our Redeemer is who He is.
Yes,
and all of those things that pictured Him, that's why they're like that, David, because they pictured Him. But here's the point. This was an attempt by Antiochus Epiphanes to insult the God of the Jews. And you know what? He did.
Yes, sir.
He did. Now, as I said last week, and I am going to review, but I will try to be brief through this review. Remember, some people unintentionally hurt God's people.
Yeah.
That is, it is not their overall goal to hurt God's people or to hurt the church. But they, at times, intentionally hurt God's people. I don't know whether... I think you understand what I'm talking about. But let me also say that not all people have the good of God's people at heart.
That's right.
There are some people who are well-intentioned, but they're wrong. And let me tell you, false doctrine harms God's people, whether it's intentional or unintentional.
Amen. Exactly.
It hurts God's people.
Yeah.
Now, there are people out there who willingly want false doctrine.
Yeah.
They want false doctrine. They know what this book says, and they won't have it.
Exactly.
There are others who are blinded and don't know what it says, and they think, well, this is what it said. It don't mean what they think it means. Actually, it means what it says. That's what it means. But there is this third group. There are some who willingly do harm to God's people. And as I said, some people want to find out, well, who really saved here and who's lost? How far can I defile the temple of God before it proves whether I'm really a child of God or not? And you know what? God don't give us an answer to that.
That's right.
Because God never tells us how far we can go. You know why? Because we've already went too far.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
We can't go too far. We've already went too far.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of what Tim James said in preaching a message. Somebody said, well, fine, what if I do so and so? Talk about whether you can be saved or not. Or what if I do this or do that? He said, come on, get real. You've already done so and so.
That's right.
You even still today sometimes do so and so. It's not a matter of what if we do this or do that. We're guilty of this or that.
Yes, sir.
We're already guilty. And as I said, this is review. Usually what people want to know is, how far or what can I get away with and still go to heaven? Let me put it to you this way. You can't get away with anything and go to heaven. Either Christ died for your sins and you'll go to heaven, or He did not and you'll go to the lake of fire.
That's it. Yep.
One of the other.
Yes,
if you go to heaven, it will not be according to your works.
Exactly.
But you will have your works judged.
Yes, sir.
If you go to hell, it will be according to your works.
That's right.
And you will be judged because of your works.
Exactly.
Do you get the difference? If you don't, I'll just leave it like that and leave it up to God to teach you the difference.
Amen.
Because there is a difference,
yes, sir,
between having your works judged and you being judged according to your works.
Exactly.
I want to be in that first group.
Exactly. That's it.
I want to be in that first group, not the second. Because the Scripture says of the second group, those who are actually judged according to the works, there is no place in heaven for them.
That's right.
Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now, does that mean I want my works to be burned? No. But I figure I will see some of them burned. I don't know. Somebody said, well, what if it's more works are burned than stand the test? That's not the point. That's not the point. And let me tell you something. Paul says every one of us will have praise of God in that day. There's going to be no one that has everything burn up. You know why? Because it's God that works in His people both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If He's converted you, you have walked in every good work God before ordained for you to walk in.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean every work you do was ordained by God for you to walk in it. It may have been in God's sovereign purpose, but it's not a good work God ordained for you to do. So therefore, some works shall burn, and others shall what? As it says, they shall abide. That's the way the scripture puts it. But now, Paul says, be careful how you treat God's people.
Yes, sir.
Now we can say, be careful to them out there, how you treat these in here.
Yes, sir.
But we can also say to these in here, be careful how you treat one another.
Yes, sir.
Because that's just as relevant. It's not all, Joe, about them and us.
No.
It's about everybody.
Exactly.
You see, let no man deceive himself. Well, I'm a child of God. It'll be all right. That's another thing some folks said to Penny. It almost like they actually don't think, not only they're not going to give an account to God, but it doesn't matter how bad you live. As long as you're one of the elect, you're okay. That's not what this book teaches. This book teaches that God Almighty saves the elect in time, and they repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. God changes them, and they stop living like they used to live. They may still do some things they had done before, but David, they don't live that way. Now, the fact is, God saves his people. And people who use the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness. Paul said, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to do what? Serve one another, not yourself.
Amen.
Not yourself. Now, do we do that most of the time? Probably not. But that's where God's people's hearts and minds are. Now, I ask this question. How was the Lord Jesus Christ treated when he was here? And I gave you three statements. I said, first of all, some received Christ, and some did not. But I also stated this. Other people, some of these people who did not receive him, did not merely not receive him. They violently rejected him. Now some just didn't receive him. And it was basically for them neither here nor there. They didn't receive him, Mason. But there were others who violently rejected him. And I'm not going to turn to it and read it, but in Luke 4, verses 28 and 29, you'll read about a group of people that violently rejected him. And you know who they were?
Yeah.
They were the people of his own hometown.
Exactly.
And why did they violently reject him? Why did they violently? They took him up to the brow of the hill and was going to cast him off.
Yes, sir.
They were going to kill him. And it says he passed through their midst.
That's right.
They took him up there, but they couldn't get the job done.
That's right.
Exactly. You know why? Because it wasn't time for him to die yet. But why did they reject him? His own, Joe, the people of his own hometown, the ones who had seen him grow up, the ones who, while they may have accused him recently, they could not go back into his past and accuse him.
Yeah.
Could they? There was never any accusal of Christ during his childhood, was there? You know why? Because it said Christ lived pleasing to both God and men. Christ did what was right, and they still didn't even recognize him.
Exactly.
Did they? And that reminds me of what a few preachers have said. People say, why don't you let people see Jesus in you?
Hell yeah.
And you remember what some of them said? They didn't even see Jesus in Jesus. You think you can do a better job than Jesus? No. No, the only people who saw Jesus in Jesus were those who were given spiritual life. And that's the ones John says received him. He came into his own, John 1, verses 11 through 13. Came into his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. And how did they receive him? Well, he says it wasn't the blood. It has nothing to do with your genealogy. I don't care if all of your parents and grandparents back for years were Christians. That don't mean you're going to be one.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with blood. It is not of blood. And you could say period. There's no period there, but it's not of blood, period. But it also says what? not of the will of the flesh.
Right.
Now, what are we by nature?
Yeah.
We are nothing but flesh.
Yes, sir.
You are nothing but flesh until God regenerates. Then you are spiritual.
Yes, sir.
And flesh.
Yeah.
And even when you're regenerated, made spiritual, those two things, flesh and spirit, always stay distinct.
Oh, yeah.
They never join together.
Exactly.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And John says they're born, spiritually born. That's the point.
Yes, sir.
Spiritually born. How? Not of blood. What? Not of the flesh.
Exactly.
Not of the, even, wait a minute. It says not of the will of the flesh.
That's right.
Why? Because there is no will in the flesh? Oh, there's a lot of will in the flesh.
Yeah.
It's just bent toward evil.
Not good, yeah.
It's bent toward rejecting Christ.
Yes, sir.
Everybody says, I got a free will. They're a fool. The only will you have, and I have, by birth, is an Adamic will. That's a will that's fallen along with the rest of what we are. Matter of fact, the Old Testament puts it this way. Our hearts make us willing. What it says? It says, whose hearts made them willing. What does God's book say about our hearts by nature? They are desperately wicked above all things.
Amen.
Who can know it? Who can say, I've made my heart clean? Nobody is the rhetorical answer. It doesn't even answer it, Joe. It's rhetorical. It's a give me. Nobody can say, I've made, well, I think I'm better than so and so. That's not the question. Are you as good as God?
Amen.
That's the question. We can always find somebody, unless you're on the bottom. Somebody's got to be on the bottom.
Yeah.
I ain't met them yet. But every one of us always finds somebody that's worse off than we are.
Exactly.
And we point our finger at them. And so, well, at least I ain't like them.
Yeah.
Or, I've even heard this recently, well, at least I ain't done any worse than so-and-so. I've had this, well, you did this or that. Yeah, listen to the way you're saying it. I did, not I am doing this. There's a lot of things I used to do I don't do no more.
That's it.
And I ain't near as smart as I thought I was. And I'm still pretty smart. You see, the whole point is let's go back to the facts here. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but also what? Nor of the will of man. That includes every man. Well, I'm saved because so-and-so prayed for me. No, you're not.
Mm-mm.
You're saved because God Almighty called you, or you're not saved at all.
Exactly.
Who prayed for Abram?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody. Who prayed for Rahab the harlot?
Yeah.
Nobody. Who prayed for Saul of Tarsus? I'm sure there were some people praying about Saul of Tarsus.
Not necessarily, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But nowhere in Scripture do we even read, well, the church was praying for Saul of Tarsus. Does it say that?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. And people got this idea that believers are supposed to pray for everybody. Pray for the whole world to be saved. Christ didn't. Why should I?
Exactly.
Christ directly refused to pray for the whole world.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He didn't just not mention the world. He said, I pray not for the world. And there's nothing wrong with you not praying for the world.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I hear a Paul talk about one guy. He said he'd done me much harm.
Yeah.
Oh, Alexander the coppersmith?
Yeah.
He withstood my words. And he warned Titus or Timothy 1. He said, you better watch him too. Because
yeah.
He's not repentant. This guy shows no sign of turning. He'd done me much evil. And then what did he add?
Yeah.
The Lord reward him according to his works.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we're supposed to hope everybody goes to heaven. It ain't going to happen, so quit hoping for it.
Exactly.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to hell. Somebody's got to go to hell.
Because exactly.
God's book says so. Right? John's already seen it happen. Somebody's going to hell. Now, whether that's me or you, that's not the point this morning. The point is this. No matter who we are, we best take seriously how we treat God's people.
Yes, sir.
Now, when I stand up here and preach this to you, I'm not telling you I'm the standard, look at me. I'm telling you right here's the standard, look at it.
Amen.
You see, when I declare unto you the holiness of God, I'm not telling you I'm preaching this because I am holy too.
Exactly.
Even though I am. You just can't see it. What you see is my unholiness. You just can't see my God-ordained holiness.
Exactly.
Look, God says I'm holy.
Yes,
if I'm a part of the temple, right?
Right?
If His Spirit dwells in me, I'm holy. So are you.
Yes,
even though we may not see that. But again, some people rejected Christ. Some people received Him. Who? To them that believed on His name, but which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And then people still, what do I say? I believe in free will. It didn't do Adam any good. At best, Adam was one of the only created men that had free will. At best.
Yeah.
I don't even really think Adam was free. He wasn't free. Only one being in this, only one being is free. That's God Almighty.
Amen.
He is free. He is free. But let me move on. Some received Him, some did not. Those who received Him by the free reigning grace of... It's God that brought forth the increase.
Amen.
God did it. If you believe Christ, if you've received Him, it's because God did it.
Yep.
And if you didn't receive Him, let me tell you something, God purposed that too.
Yeah.
That's right. And you stand guilty because of it. But again, I say other people violently rejected Him. Men tried to tempt Him, trick Him, hurt Him, and kill Him. And remember what I mentioned last week. Christ gave the disciples these words, "The servant is not greater than his Lord."
That's right.
If they hated me, they'll hate you.
Yes,
if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And why do they persecute us? Well, one, they persecuted Him. But why did they persecute Him? Well, go back to those people. Luke chapter 4, look, even in his hometown. They didn't persecute Him over some general stand about the grace of God.
No.
He quoted the scripture and they said, "What gracious words."
Uh-huh.
Didn't they?
Yes, sir.
And that's what people will say today if you get up and just read the Bible.
Yeah.
But when you say, "Here's what the Bible is saying about grace," and you define grace as what it is particular, it is distinguishing. As a matter of fact, grace not only receives some, it rejects others.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Somebody says, "The Bible don't say that." Christ said that.
Yeah.
He said there were many widows in the day of a certain prophet, and God didn't feed a one of them.
That's right.
He fed a Gentile widow.
Yeah.
Didn't He? And He said there were many lepers in Israel in the days of, what was it, Naaman, wasn't it? The Syrian, a Gentile. God didn't heal a one of them, but that one. And it said, that's grace. But see, it's distinguishing, particular. It's a grace that says, I'm going to save this one, but I'm not going to save that one.
Exactly.
That's what grace does. That's what grace is. And when Christ defined that, then look at how their action. It was no more, "Boy, what gracious words." Uh-huh. It's, "Let's take Him up on the hill and kill Him."
That's right.
And let me tell you, that's the same thing they do today. Huh? We've had people walk into this small group. We're no threat to anybody. Are we? Are we changing society? No. Making them madder, maybe. Make them more upset. Are we changing? Are we harming people? Are we hurting the TV stations, Joe, and their business? We ain't bothering nobody. But all they got to do is walk in here one Sunday, hear me or Joe, or even Earl when he's alive, hear us preach of the free reigning grace of God, and they get ticked off.
Yep.
And they get mad. And they get mad at who? They get mad at us.
Oh, yeah.
But what's the real problem?
Yeah.
They're mad at God.
Exactly.
Because this is God's election.
Yeah.
This is God's grace, not mine.
Exactly.
The fact is, it has nothing to do with me other than I hope to God I'm a part of it.
Exactly.
Other than I hope to God He chose me.
Yeah.
Remember what I told you. Here's what Scripture says men do to God's people. And this is just a sprinkling of all. I started reading, I told you that, I started reading these things, and I thought, I'll be going on forever and ever. But let me just give you that list again. They make merchandise of you. They bewitch God's people. They trouble God's people. They overthrow the faith of some of God's people. They lie in wait to deceive God's people. They lie in hypocrisy to God's people. Their doctrine is like a shell game. Paul said, watch them.
Yeah.
Like a shell game. They withstand God's truth. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They infiltrate. They creep in unawares. They use vain jangling. I think anybody who's got any sense this morning, if you've got even physical sense, and you've heard me and Joe preach from this word, you know we've tried to tell you this is what the word says. We've not tried to give you some deep meaning, some special meaning you didn't get, but we got. And we're giving it to you. Now, that ain't what most fellas are doing. Well, you could read this and say, well, I didn't even thought about that. He said that. You know, I remember hearing for the first time, Henry Mahan. And I thought, I don't believe what that man says, but he sure does. And I don't even like what he's preaching, but one thing about it, he's preaching it with authority.
Yeah.
And you know what? I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. And let me tell you, I was glad for it after God Almighty opened my eyes up to it.
Yeah.
I was glad for it. No, what do they do? Look at Acts 17, verses 1 through 5. And let's just look at that. Here's how far they'll go. Let me just say, some people are downright mean.
Yes, sir.
They want to hurt God's people.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 17. Now, when they had passed throughout Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. I can actually pronounce that one. Where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days Sabbath reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And generally, this is what Paul did. When he went to a new town, a new city, he would go first to the synagogue and preach Christ to the Jews. And they would either believe or they wouldn't believe. But anyway, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Now, not another Jesus. As Joe adequately pointed out, it's this Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Any other Jesus, and Paul said there'll be other Jesuses.
Oh, yeah.
Even Jesus said there'll be other Jesuses, and you best not listen to them.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
That this Jesus is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. That means a good large number of them did. But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. We're talking about the bad folks of society. We're talking about the folks that would hurt you for a dime.
Yeah.
All somebody got to do is pay them some money, Mac. They hurt you. They don't care who you are. They don't care if you're a reprobate or elect. It don't matter whether you're religious or irreligious. These guys just like hurting folk. There are certain baser fellas of the lewd sort. And what they do, they basically hired these folks.
Yep.
And what it says? And gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you try to straightforwardly open and allege that this is the Christ.
Yeah.
Not another one. Now, you can talk about Jesus all day long. Everybody love you.
Oh, yeah.
Until you say, this is the Christ of the Bible, and no other Christ is the Christ of the Bible. And you know what happens? They hate you.
Yes, sir.
But who do they really hate? They're hating God.
Exactly.
They're hating God. Think about it. What are these things Paul likens unto them? A defiling of a temple. A profaning of a temple, being an Antiochus Epiphanes, to take a pig and offer it upon the altar of the Lord. To hurt God's people is like that. And I've got just a few minutes. Let me give you 3 examples of it. How seriously God takes this. You remember Aaron's 2 sons, Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu.
Yeah.
Aaron's 2 sons.
Yeah.
He had 4 of them. But two of them went into the tabernacle, that tent, okay? And they took in that tent coals, which the Bible calls, the KJV calls fire. It was hot coals, okay? But they didn't get the coals from the right place. They took strange fire. They took coals from the wrong place. It doesn't tell us where they got it. Because it don't matter. If it ain't the right ones, it ain't the right ones. The right coals come from off the brazen altar. Because that's where judgment was made. Why? What is that point? It's pointing out Christ. There is no other offering unto God besides that which Christ offered.
Amen.
It's the offering of the made on the brazen altar, and those priests were to take coals of fire and then put incense on it and take it into that temple. What did Aaron's two sons do? They took strange fire. And they walked into that temple with strange fire. And you know what God did? God killed them where they stood.
Yes, sir.
He didn't even give them time to walk out of the temple, the tabernacle. They died where they stood. And as one preacher said, and I found out he was wrong, but I thought it sounded good when he said it. They drug them out by their heels. I found out they did. It said they wrapped them up in their coats and carried them out. But I thought that sounded good when he said it. But you see, you got to realize God's word's the truth, not what we think about it.
Exactly.
They carried those two boys out. God killed them right there. Why? Because it was an insult to God's gospel.
Yes, sir.
It was a defiling, a profaning, a destroying of God's picture that pointed to Christ.
Amen, that's right.
And let me tell you something. Remember what the passage I quoted to you? I think it's Zechariah. Yeah, Zechariah 2, verse 8, where God says, "He that touches you touches the apple of my eye."
Yes, sir.
You see, people who hate the gospel, they're going to hate you.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because God chose you and called you out. And that's what Christ said. They hate you because I chose you out of the world. You were one of them.
Yeah.
But I picked you out. And they don't like you for that. You just go tell them God picked me out.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You'll find out how much they hate the election.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? And go ahead and tell them who you think you are.
Yeah.
I'm better than you are. Go ahead and tell them that. See what they say. Huh? That'll really make them mad. No, it's not because we're better than they are. Some of us may be worse than this one or that one that God didn't choose. That's not the point.
Exactly.
Somebody said, well, God chose all the sinners. No, He didn't choose them all. He chose some of them. And He chose some of the worst ones and some of the best ones when you compare them amongst themselves.
Yeah.
But when you compare us all to God, we're not a better or worse.
That's right.
We're not a better or worse. Strange fire, Leviticus 10. Think about it. Here's another one. I'll keep you just a few more minutes. And this, here in my mind, here you remember David building the cart? You remember the Ark of the Covenant was down in somebody's house. And David built a brand new cart.
Yeah.
And it got some new oxen that had never even had a yoke on them, which ain't a smart thing to be doing anyway. If you ask me, you ought to get a couple trained ones. But nevertheless, David built a brand new cart and had oxen who had never held a yoke, and they put that Ark of the Covenant up on that thing, and they were riding along, and there was a guy named Uzzah and another guy with him riding on that cart, driving it. And the oxen got by so-and-so's threshing floor, and it evidently hit a hump in the road or a mud hole, and the oxen stumbled, and the cart teetered, and that ark teetered. And what did Uzzah do? It says he reached his hand back to steady the ark.
Yep.
What happened? God killed him on the spot.
That's right.
Why? David, that seems honorable. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That seems like a good deed. He wasn't being profane. Well, trying to be.
No.
But he was.
Yep.
I see. Because God said, here's the way you carry the ark.
Exactly.
And you take that ark, and you put these staves that I had you specifically make, two of them, made of shittim wood overlaid in gold, and you stick those staves through the two rings on each side, and the Levites are to pick that thing up and carry it.
Amen.
And you cover it up with all of these certain coverings, and you cover it up, and that's the way you carry that ark. Why are they doing? Well, what does it matter? Because God said it's this way. because God's gospel is this way and no other way. And those things pictured God's gospel, God's Son.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And to defile that was to defile God's truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And Uzzah doing a good thing, Joe, yeah, at least as far as we can see,
yeah,
God killed him.
Yes, sir.
And David became two things that day. Angry, but also afraid of God.
Yes, sir.
Why? You best be afraid of God.
Yeah.
Because you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you. I gave you this other. And you remember Moses? You can find it in Exodus 4. Moses evidently didn't circumcise that boy of his he had through Zipporah.
Yeah.
And God caught him at the motel.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it says it, at the inn. He evidently stopped at some place overnight, and God was going to kill him. And Zipporah, his wife, took a knife and circumcised that boy's parts and throwed the bloody hide at his feet and said, "You're a bloody husband unto me."
Yeah.
You know why? Because God Almighty would have killed him. And I like what Henry Mahan, I remember him saying this years ago. I haven't heard that message since. But this has stuck in my mind. Somebody said, "Well, what about God's sovereign purpose?" God's holiness is primary. God's sovereign purpose will be carried out, but none of us are to try to take God's sovereign purpose for granted.
Right.
I'll do what I want, and God's got to keep his hands off of me. Uh-uh. No, don't let any man be deceived. A man will reap what he sows.
Yes, sir.
Whether you're reprobate or elect,
yeah. Yeah.
We reap. You do not fly in the face of God.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is, God's judgment is sometimes what? Long in coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He don't always kill you right off the bat, does he? Now, he can, but he don't always do so. And the scripture says, because God's judgment is so long, it says, what about men? Their hearts are set continually to do evil.
Yeah.
To do evil. No, I believe we can put it this way. This is foolish men. Or a foolish man,
yeah,
or a foolish person pretending to be wise,
yeah,
isn't it? And it is that. It's a pretense,
exactly,
in God's sight. It is a jeer if you hurt God's people. Well, they deserved it. Well, I don't care if they did deserve it. It's not your place to hurt them.
Exactly.
That's God's business, right?
Yeah.
They're His. They're bought with a price. Leave them alone. To do anything else is a jeer of God's goodness. It is a mockery of God's truth. It is an affront to God's wisdom. It is, in effect, to insult God.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said God can be insulted. God is always insulted with fallen, sinful, rebellious men.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, even we can insult Him if we're not careful.
Yep.
And He'll deal with us.
Yeah.
But aren't you glad with us it's in love?
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, God chastens His Son. Matter of fact, He says He chastens all of them. And it's everyone. If you're without chastisement, you're not one of God. You are a bastard.
Exactly.
And you remember what I told you that word really means in the Greek, don't you?
That's right.
It means bastard.
Right.
It means you're not a true child of God. Because
yeah,
God deals with His people. Well, I'll live this way. You might. Well, I'll go out and do this. Yeah, you might. But God Almighty, if you're here, He'll deal with you.
Yeah, that's it.
And He's going to deal with you now.
Yep. Yeah.
He may deal with your works later, but He's going to deal with you now.
Yes, sir.
But there's other folks, He's going to deal with them and their works, Joe, mm-hmm, all later.
Exactly.
I want to be a part of that first group.
Yes, sir.
The ones that God is dealing with, yeah, He may even chasten us. Oh, He does chasten us.
Mm-hmm.
But He basically dealt with us, Joe, in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins were dealt with at Calvary. And I can't, Joan, this is what you were saying, I can't get them under the blood.
Yeah.
People will tell you to do that. Get your sins under the blood. You can't. They were either already under the blood or they're never going to be under the blood.
Exactly.
What you got to find out is which kind of person are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Are you one of the elect or not? And somebody says, does that really matter? Yeah, that's what the book says to do.
Yeah.
To make your calling and election sure. And what was you was told about that? That's just Bible words.
That's right.
Oh, that's just scripture. Yeah, that's just scripture. These are people that profess grace.
Oh, yeah.
That's scary. It's sad. You're right. But it's scary. It's scary. Father, I pray as we part our separate ways that we may first of all, primarily, be mindful of Thy Son, to rest in Him, trust in Him, to believe Him. But may we also be mindful of one another. And Lord, we are so weak and so sinful and so prone to failure, to hurt one another, to speak wrongly to one another. But Lord, help us. Help us to realize the seriousness of it. And by Your grace, help us to avoid it, to eschew it, and to run from it. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.